Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before start from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're going to talk about season 45, Drop the Four, Keep the Five, episode 4. Music to my ears.
Chris, speaking of music to my ears. I, at a recommendation from our listener, have been listening to The Days We Had by Daywave. Did you check that out?
Not really, no. I listened to like a couple songs when I first got the email, but I did not go back yet.
I have listened to like half of the album because admittedly I started it today because I just have not had a lot of time this week to listen to new music. But I'm really into it, and it feels very, like, great for fall time, specifically. The first couple songs especially gave me some, like, Death Cab vibes,
okay,
which made me specifically feel like you would like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, thank you for recommending that.
Other recommendations from fans. Laura emailed us and said, "Hey, guys, I look forward to your luxury item recommendations every episode. About time I share one. I've been super into a podcast called National Park After Dark. It's a variety of
really funny if she was like, I've been really into this podcast called Tribal Council.
Well, I mean, we know that's a given. It's a variety of interesting national park related stories ranging from true crime to natural disasters to extreme survivalist stories to spooky origin stuff from parks all over the country. The two women who host it are very chill and relatable. If you're into that kind of thing, you should check it out."
Ooh, that does sound intriguing. I have like a hardcore aversion to true crime for whatever reason.
Well, it's not all true crime.
I know, but the fact that it is some true crime and therefore I wouldn't necessarily know going into the episode, I feel like I would not. Maybe I should try a couple episodes, I guess.
Or what you do is you look at the episodes and read the description and it'll tell you whether it's going to be.
That's a lot of work, Chris.
Like the most recent episode's description says, "Today's stories include killers in the forest, charging cougars, invisible drums, papa bears, death in the whites, and aliens stalkers." Lots of stuff in there that's not true crime.
Yeah, but that like I was thinking one story an episode. That
well, maybe this one, to, like, this one's called Trail Tales 37. I think that's like a maybe listeners sending stuff in. I think they have their typical episode is focuses more on one thing, but I haven't listened to it yet, so I could be wrong. We got another email.
Laura to send another email of like an episode or two that she specifically recommends from that podcast.
That's not true crime.
Yeah.
Another email from Michael, longtime listener and former guest. He said, "Speaking of music, I'm enjoying the Postal Service. Thanks for the recommendation. I just noticed today that Kesha has a new album. I also missed that she came out with one in 2020 also, too. I'm a big fan of her other work. Do you know about either of the new ones?" I unfortunately don't. I really, really listen to Rainbows a lot. Is that what it was called?
Rainbow, I think, yeah.
Rainbow, yeah. I listened to that album a lot when it came out. Like, I used to grade papers to it, do schoolwork to it. Like, I listened to that one a lot. And then, for whatever reason, I haven't been on much of a new music kick for a while. I just been listening to podcasts. And so I have not listened to her past couple.
I feel like I did know about the one in 2020, but I don't remember liking it. I don't remember if I liked it or not.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I should check it out because I, like you, really liked Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, High Road is the 2021.
I did not know that she had.
And Gag Order.
Huh. Thank you, Michael.
Another email, also from Michael, separate email, said, "Regarding your recent conversation about a player going through nicotine withdrawal, I bet most medications are quietly allowed. For example, depression and anxiety medication is life-saving and very common. The idea that players might be excluded because they require medication sounds wild to me. Forbidding medication would make the show dramatically less inclusive. Regarding the potential unfair advantages some medication might offer, this is a problem in sports too, and can be accommodated through careful regulation, like sunscreen, toiletries, and breaks during lengthy challenges, or toilets and breaks during lengthy challenges. I bet medication is allowed and just something they choose not to show. Loving the podcast, Michael. So I tried to do some research on Survivor's rules regarding medication. And basically, they haven't published much. Like, it's hard to actually find. So I found some stuff like from people who are on the show, from interviews and stuff like that. Someone from an interview said that in their season, they had contestants with controlled asthma, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure, and they're using medication that was monitored by the medical staff. Other things I found out was that every beach has like a med box that has sunscreen in it, has like tampons or pads, birth control pills are fine. And it has other like medications that people would need to take regularly. We just never see that. And then I also found a contract that is like the Survivor rules that the players have to sign.
Oh, okay.
And I read through that. It's very like legally jargon. And it's also, you can tell it's old based off of like some of the rules and stuff they talk about. But I would say it's probably from like the first 10 or 15 seasons. So it's certainly not like updated to now. It doesn't really talk about medication other than it says that players have to disclose any like medical stuff before they're on the show, or it can make them not be on the show, basically. And so like basically what I found is there's not a lot of published stuff from Survivor about what they allow, but because they don't publish that stuff, a lot of people when they apply and contestants are sometimes nervous to share stuff because they don't want to be rejected because of that stuff. And so on that end, that's bad. Like Survivor should just come out and be like, hey, here's the deal, like be honest with us, you can have access to meds, blah 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 blah. But they don't do that, which does make me think that they might bar some people based off of some of that stuff, but I don't know.
Depends on all like other factors. Like I do know of a couple times when people have gone cold turkey off of pretty necessary medication, like we saw in season 42. That's why Jackson was medically pulled, is because he like had been on, I think it was lithium, and just like quit cold turkey.
Right. So he didn't. So I found out more about that too, was he basically had like, I mean, I guess it was somewhat quitting cold turkey, but he was like on lithium, but he was like at the end of taking it. Like he only had like a few doses left basically. And so he didn't tell the show because he's like, well, by the time I'm on it, I'm not going to be on it anymore. And then because of feeling like lightheaded or whatever on it, that he finally disclosed it. And that's what,
yeah, that makes sense. But like, I think that if he would have disclosed that ahead of time, they would have been like, okay, but weaning off of that medication on like while you're dehydrated and having zero food is not a good idea. And so, yeah, there's also,
but what that could have done, like, so yeah, so it's like they might have barred him from it, or they might have been like, okay, well, you can't be on 42, but we'll save you for 43.
Yes, exactly. There's another case of in Micronesia, Kathy like quit because she said that she couldn't feel her kids anymore and stuff. I don't know if you remember her. Mm-hmm. She has come out and said that she had gone cold turkey off of Zoloft because of the show and hadn't disclosed that. Which is a case of like what I think that we are saying is that she maybe would have been scared to tell the show that she was on Zoloft, and so she just didn't say anything and then went cold turkey on it, and that caused some problems for her out on the show, which makes sense,
right?
But like I think I agree with Michael that like they would allow some of those things in some meds, especially mental health meds and stuff, maybe not especially mental health meds, like including mental health meds.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that someone being on prescription medication would bar them from being on the show if those prescription meds are not going to react well to starvation and dehydration.
Yeah, potentially.
Like if the foods need to be taken with meds, or sorry, if the meds need to be taken with food, I think that they would probably say no.
Yeah, so that I'm not sure of, but yeah, they might like say like, okay, well, maybe you have to do a different season. Or I also found that they apparently get like a vitamin supplement every day. which I didn't know about.
Yeah, I have heard that. I think that's new, like in the new era.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically what this came down to is that the show keeps it pretty secretive, which is shady in of itself, I think. I mean, some of that is like, you can't talk about specific contestants because that's violating like their own medical privacy and stuff like that. But they could outright say whatever their policies are, but the fact that they don't probably means that maybe they do choose contestants somewhat based off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to find out. Maybe we should write into Jeff's podcast on Fire and ask what the deal is with all that.
Yeah.
And yeah. If they don't necessarily like talking about it, he probably isn't going to answer us, but there is like a questions from fans section on that. So
yeah. Other things I found out from the contract, this was a pretty early one, but it does talk about the rules of tiebreakers. And some of the things I found out in the research, I don't remember the exact vote, but in season one, there was a vote that just kept getting a tie, and their policy at the time was just keep revoting. And so they just kept revoting,
oh, really?
revoting. And then eventually, I think Kelly is one that flipped, which is part of the reason that led to Sue's snakes and rats thing.
Oh.
Because I saw some Reddit post that was like, hey, I know this used to be the policy. What do you think would have happened if like the current tiebreaker rules were in play? Like, how would that have gone down or something like that? And then in the contract, another interesting thing was because we've heard about going to rocks if there's a tie. And it said if there's like a three-way tie, which I don't know if this has actually ever happened, but it was in the rules as like a possibility. If there's like a more than two-way tie, if there's a three-way tie, it's the same process, except when the people are trying to discuss like, okay, and like they have to make a discussion to make a unanimous decision. Otherwise, they have to draw rocks. During that decision, they can be like, okay, we've got it narrowed down to these two, so this other person is safe, and that person can join them in those conversations. But that means that person also has to draw rocks if they go to rocks.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
And it's like pretty detailed in here of like they have a 2-minute discussion, and then if they don't have a decision, then they go to rocks.
Oh, that also makes sense, because when we saw that in season 42, it felt like Jeff was like, okay, so decide. And it felt like they were like frantically trying to have a conversation. And that makes sense that there's like a 2-minute time limit.
And then it has a thing for like, if it's down to 4 people though, they don't do that. They'll do a separate tiebreaker at the sole discretion of the producer, which has now become like fire making. But it doesn't talk about fire making in here. It's just like, there's a few things that are just like if there's a final tribal council tie, it's like, that'll be determined by something the producer wants to do. It doesn't actually say like how it will.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other interesting stuff. There's a lot of like, you have to vote. If you don't vote, they can kick you off the show. If you don't compete in challenges, they can kick you off the show. There's like weird wording that like the winner is guaranteed $1 million, but all of the other amounts are like if the show wants to, they can give other prizes.
Oh, weird. That's it says I feel like in early seasons, Jeff would like openly acknowledge that second place got $100,000. Like,
right.
He would say like it was making a $900,000 decision or something.
So it says, it refers to like the show as producer. It says producer may, in its sole discretion, give consolation cast prizes to each contestant based on each contestant's order of elimination, ranging from approximately $2,500 to $100,000 for the runner-up. But the show has no obligation to do so, and in its sole discretion may also give additional consolation prizes in cash or in kind to all or some of the contestants, but has no obligation to.
I wonder if that is how they get around doing like the America's Favorite Player and stuff, and like adding extra things.
Yeah.
Without people being upset about it, I guess.
Yeah. It also talks about like quid pro quo, like contestants can't be like, hey, I'll split up money with you. But we have seen that broken with what's his face? Yao Man made the car deal with somebody. And I think it was just good television. So Jeff's like, yep, that's fine.
Yeah, but it wasn't splitting the money.
Well, I was just using that as an example. Like, it specifically talks about, like, it says contestants are prohibited from sharing or making any agreement to share all or any portion of a prize. And I would say that is sharing an entire prize. That is giving somebody a prize.
Yeah.
Although it does say after the series has,
because it's not Yao Man saying like, hey, I'll give this to you after the game. Like, Jeff kind of made a point in that episode to say like, okay, so like, this is as if he won the reward and not you.
Yeah.
Like I'm giving him the keys. I'm not giving you the keys anymore. And so it was a little bit more like Dream specifically won the reward, rather than Yao Man giving him a car, which like is very much semantics, but we should probably talk about season 45. Unless you have more from the contract.
I don't think so. It talks about how they have to forage food. They have to wear clothing approved by the production. They have to apply. Yeah. Nothing else that really stood out, I don't think. They can be filmed 24/7, even when they don't know it, and even when they're naked.
Oh, I don't love that. I wonder if that's different now.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like a few things in here that made it seem like this contract was definitely from the earlier.
Someone, so I think it might have been Chanel, was on Tyson's podcast and mentioned that there is now a rule in the new era that they have to be at least 6 inches apart when they're sleeping.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate as a rule. Tyson was like, that makes a lot of sense. But also, wow, we really snuggled for warmth. Like, that would have been hard.
Right.
Which I get, but I'm like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about. Well, so thank you, Michael, for writing in with that stuff. And thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this week's episode, where we started off with Lulu after their previous tribal council, where Sean was kind of blindsided by losing his ally in
Sabaya.
He says he's impressed because he didn't see it coming. He's kind of trying to save face, saying that Sabaya was controlling things.
There's a really funny moment in this where he goes to Caleb and he's like, hey, Caleb, it like was not my idea to vote you out. I did not want to do that. And Emily's like, so that means that you wanted to vote me out. I'm the only other option here. And Sean's like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a rough spot.
I do think, I wanted to talk about this a little bit too, because Sean is doing like the thing that I think that you're supposed to do, that like most people do, of like trying to save face a little bit and like, I'm not going to be pissed at you about the vote, even though I am internally pretty pissed at you about the vote. I'm going to be like, oh man, okay, let's move fast to this. Let's work together. But both Caleb and Emily are like, nah, he's not genuine. Fuck him. Which like, I think Sean did the right thing, but they were just like, no, I don't want that. Which like makes sense.
Yeah. I think I read them into saying that not just because of this interaction, just like, in general, like other vibes they got from him. Of not,
that's fair. I also think that like he was doing a little bit too much. Like, oh, it's okay that like you betrayed me and Sabaya, and not really acknowledging like that he was betraying Caleb much. Like,
yeah, like he could have owned it and been like, shit, you really got us. Like, we did not expect that to happen. Instead, he's like, it was all Sabaya. I was just like doing what she told me to do.
Right.
We go from there to our group meeting. Where Jeff announces that there's going to be a tribe swap.
It really looked like there was going to be a challenge. Like, it looked like a challenge was set up behind them.
Maybe they just used the same location for the challenge later or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
So we get a tribe shakeup, kind of. It ends up that 4 Bellow people end up together still with 1 Lulu. 4 Reba people end up together with 1 Lulu. And then the other tribe is 2 Bellow, 2 Reba, and 1 Lulu. So all 3 Lulu get split up. I did think that, I guess my view of this kind of changed later in the episode, but at the time, it was almost like each Lulu person was going to be like the swing vote in all of the cases. Because there was like the one tribe that was like 2 Bellow, 2 Reba, so then the Lulu person is going to be like the hot item there. And right. Then there was what I thought was the, I'm trying to remember because I have like the tribes mixed up now.
The new Lulu tribe has four old Bello, which was very much split like men versus women. And there's right. two men and two women with Caleb yeah. in the middle.
So that's why I was like, ooh, Caleb could be like, decide which one he wants to pair with. So he could be a Swain. And then the other tribe was kind of like Dee and Julie?
Dee and Julie were like a pair
yes.
previously.
And then Sifu and Jay.
They were kind of outs. So they weren't necessarily a pair, but they were right. seemed to be on the out.
Yeah. So when I did it, I was like, oh, that's actually really interesting. And then I learned that it's not so much that Defu or Sifu and Jay are actually paired because Jay doesn't like Sifu. And they like kind of, we see with, as they talk later, that they almost had like a women's alliance that maybe had been talked about, but they hadn't really showed us.
Yeah.
So that idea kind of fell through. But when they first split up, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. All the Lulu people are the swing voters.
I did. So I was like, wow, this is kind of unbelievable that like Lulu is all split up and that there's a tribe that's for Reba and a Lulu and a tribe that's mm-hmm. for Bello and a Lulu. And that's kind of crazy. I didn't check this math, but there is on Rob Has a Podcast, one of their podcasts this week. Someone did the math to like, what they actually did was run a simulation of this swap like a million times or something. And this setup of there being like 4-1, 4-1 and 2-2-1. Was the eighth most frequent thing and had like a 4% chance of happening, basically. Which I was like, oh, that is like much more common than I would have expected.
Yeah, especially because like that 4% or whatever is like, if it had ended up being like, I don't know, like 3-2, 4-1 and whatever the other outcome would have to be 3-1-1 or something. Like, I don't know. There's like so many outcomes that are like semi-similar that would like those percentages get kind of lumped together.
Right.
It was a nice shakeup. This is like he said it was the first time in the new era that there's been like a full tribe shakeup. We've seen like a couple people swapped, but not like a full shakeup like this.
Yeah.
So we head to new Lulu.
He also claimed on, he said, we talked about this a little bit last week, but he said on his podcast, Jeff said on the podcast that, this was always planned. And it's not because Lulu had gotten down to three people.
Yeah.
Which, you know, listeners, believe that if you want. I tend to believe it, but I could be convinced otherwise.
That's what I've always believed, because you bring that up often. I'm like, I think the show probably has to have this stuff planned before time. Like, I think by game show, like, laws, but that's just me guessing.
I don't think that they can have everything planned, though, because they can't plan for, like, medivacs and quits and everything. So I think that there has to be some part of their planning that is like contingent.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
If but this I think happens, that, then we do this.
Right. But that would be planned. What you just described as a plan.
Oh, yeah. I guess what I am more debating is like, would this have happened if Reba lost Plaza?
Oh.
Like, is this going to happen anyway? Or is this because Lulu got down so far?
Gotcha.
Like, yes, it's still planned, but was it always going to happen?
Right. Well, for this case, Jeff said, yes, it was always going to happen. So we head to new Lulu, which is Caleb, Keturah, Kelly, Jake, and Bruce. Bruce is very emotional and crying because this camp is where he was on last season and got medevaced from. They group up and check with Caleb about the boat trip that he went on to like confirm details from Bruce's boat trip. And like Bruce starts to tell the story and Keturah's like, no, I want to hear it from Caleb, which like Bruce, it like bumped on Bruce, but I was like, yeah, obvious. Like, what are you doing, Bruce? Like, if you're trying to verify information, like, don't tell the guy your information. Like, let's have him share it. And then like, I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, I see your point. It was not Caleb's information. It was Brandon's information through Caleb.
Right.
And so I think Bruce was trying to be like help out, because I was like, I was there, so I can like also help tell this story that you also like was secondhand for you.
Yeah, but if Caleb is like bonded with Brandon, like if then Caleb could like lie easily, but be like, oh yeah, that's what he told me too. Like, you want it to be fresh from Caleb, and then Bruce can be like, yes, I can confirm that is what happened.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then I also that they like mentioned something like Jake and Caleb talking, And I had forgot this, but the show reminds us, or they remind us, that they had bonded during the Sweat vs. Savvy back in episode one. And so having them end up on the same tribe is a good thing for Caleb, really, maybe more than Jake. Like, Caleb needs Jake at this point, just because these are all people who are on a tribe together. We bounce over to Bello, where Emily tells them that she was on the outs with her tribe, and talks about how Sabaya was running things. She tells them all about the wax idol that Sabaya had found and how it went down at tribal council and stuff like that.
I think that she does a very good job here, because she gives a lot of information that doesn't affect her much, and she warps information. Like,
yeah, she more gives information from, like,
on she gives info on the bottom of her tribe,
yeah,
but she isn't anymore.
Yeah, it was like she gave, like, day old information. Like, this isn't the current up-to-date info, this is like what it was like a couple days ago.
Yes, exactly. But, like, it shows her being very vulnerable and giving a lot of info, and that is, like, it's a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good growth, where she wasn't, like, trying to quiz them about stuff. She was just, like, telling stuff about, like, it was very different from Emily we saw in, like, episode one and two.
Yeah.
And we go to Reba, which is the, this is the 2-2, is this the 2-2 one? No, this is,
no, that was Emily.
That's the one we just talked about.
This is the four original Reba plus Sean.
Yeah. There was an interesting just, like, camera shot where Sean, he, like, went to sit on a log, and Julia was like, no, you can't sit there. And he had to, like, sit in the middle. But where he ended up sitting exactly split what I thought the split was.
Oh, that's interesting. Was, like, I didn't notice that.
D and Julie on one side, and then Sifu and Jay on the other side. They, when Sean goes to, like, get water or something, Sifu and D and Julie are there, and Sifu searches his bag, which Sean very cleverly, like, knotted his bag in a particular way, probably to make sure, like, or know if people had searched through it or not. But they also,
yeah, like, I didn't know if it was that, or if it was just, like, he had practiced making knots into untying knots.
Yeah, that could,
like,
be.
Before going on the show, and so he just, like, that was a thing that he did.
I was glad they showed so much of it, too, because they were, like, it was interesting watching them being so careful of, like, okay, shoes were in the bag upside down. Like, they were, like, noting everything as they pulled it out, so that way they could try to put it back without him noticing. They don't.
And I love that they practiced anything. They practiced making the knot on their own bags so that they mm-hmm. could make it, so they knew that they could make it on Sean's before they untied it.
Yeah.
I very much was like, this is so intricate, and also, like, now going to be what everyone on the show does to their bags.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's going to, like, do some minuscule thing on their bag as a marker of, like, I'm gonna know if someone messed it up.
Yeah, it's something that was really smart, and I don't know that I would have thought to do, because I, like, have done stuff not like that before, but where, like, I, like, take something apart and I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna remember what this looks like, and then I go to put it back together and I'm like, fuck, I don't remember what this looks like. And so now I've gotten in a better habit of, like, taking pictures. And so that's essentially what they were, like, trying to do without a camera, was just do, like, mental pictures and, like, take notes of it, like, by verbally saying stuff. They don't end up finding anything. Jay tells Sean, though, that she thinks Sifu has an idol, and that she hopes that they can blindside Sifu. She feels a good energy from Sean, and so she thinks she can trust him.
It begins a very interesting chain of events on Reba, because Jay is, like, convinced that Sifu has an idol, and so needs to orchestrate a blindside on him, and tries to pull in Dee and Julie on this, who know that Sifu doesn't have an idol, because they know that Austin has an idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just noting that,
because it'll come up more later.
Right.
But, like, that's all very interesting to me.
Yeah, this is also an episode where Jay talks to, yeah, she talks to Julie and Dee more, and I'm like, oh, I guess there was more of a women's alliance than they ever showed us before, but that's probably just because we haven't spent that much time with the other tribes, we've just spent so much time with Lucy that, or it could be that there isn't actually that much of a women's alliance, that's just what they've been telling Jay to, like, keep her happy, even though they've been having their own four alliance with the two guys that aren't there.
I also kind of think that it might have been more that, like, Sifu was kind of annoying them all and was kind of on the outs, because we did mm-hmm. see some of that in previous episodes, and so it was just kind of like, cool, well, the three Reba minus Sifu are, like, gonna stick together.
Speaking of which,
like a women's alliance.
Of Sifu being annoying, he did his like play the machete guitar thing again.
Yeah.
And it was the exact same song we saw before, where it's not really a song. It's just like we see him say like two words. I can't remember what it is. It's like, I can't remember.
I literally didn't think there were words to this song.
There's like just two words that he like sings, and then Jay like kind of does because she's supposed to be the singer, but I think she just does it because she's like appeasing him, even though it's like, I can't remember. It's like four down or something. Like it's just like something stupid like that. I can't remember exactly what the words are. I hope maybe he'll do it again because he did this exact same like two word song when I can't remember when, but like an episode or two ago.
I don't know.
He's got to learn new music, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I will say, after he did this, Sean said, "You are such a lyricist." And the women thought this was hilarious.
We head over to Bello again. It's day 9. Austin and Drew go to Emily to like bring her into their group. And she says that's music to a girl's ears.
Yeah.
Which is not the name of the episode.
It is not the name of the episode.
Is music to my ears. So they changed it. Why'd they change it?
Oh, they didn't change it, Chris.
Did somebody else say music to my ears?
Caleb and Sean both also say music to my ears in this episode.
Oh.
All three former Lulu people all say something about it being music to their ears.
Wow. I did not notice that. This was the only one I noticed was with Emily.
I only noticed Emily. I noticed this one and I noticed Caleb's. And then I saw online that someone noted that all three of them said it. And I was like, whoa, I must have missed Sean's.
That's fun.
But it's because, yeah, multiple people confirmed in that. And they're like, oh, yeah, Sean has said it here or whatever. So, yeah, it was very, I was like, oh, that's why it's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
It's because three different people used the exact same, like, analogy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's mostly what went down in Bello, is just Austin and Drew bring Emily in. She's happy to hear that. They're happy. She's happy. We spend some more time with Lulu, where...
Do you think that, how much do you think that she is real about this? And how much is she, like, saying yes, but would still weigh options with, like, if Kendra and Brando came to her and did something similar, would she side with Austin and Drew, or would she kind of play the middle and go back and forth?
I don't know. I feel like she would not play the middle. Like, I think she would, like, maybe to them, to Kendra and Brando, like, say she was signing with them, but I think she would tell Drew and Austin, like, okay, I'm with you. I'm just like keeping them happy. Cause I think she's like, if she's with them, she's in a good spot here. She knows she's solid with Caleb. And so like, if they can make it to the merge, then she's like got something with Caleb and got something going with them. She doesn't need like a third set going.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think that she knows that Caleb has something with Drew because of the like tribe raid from the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him the goodwill advantage. So I don't know how much she knows about that, but I think that she would know that like Drew and Austin are good people through Caleb.
That tribe raid is probably where Sifu played his song.
Oh yeah, that might be right. But I also think that I cannot imagine Emily and Kendra getting along. Just because Emily is very like analytical all the time, and Kendra is like self-professed like witchy astrologer. Just don't think that Emily would appreciate those vibes.
Yeah, I agree.
Where I think that she would really get along with, like, Drew, the smartest person to ever play Survivor.
That is true. On Lulu, Bruce wants to pull Caleb in. And Bruce tells Kelly that she's his number one. Keturah notices Caleb talking with them. She wants to bond with Caleb, but she also notices that Bruce is bonding, and she tells Caleb that Bruce is the next one out, which is slightly awkward because Bruce just tried to pull Caleb in, and then Caleb's next talk with Keturah is like, I want Bruce out. And he's like, well, shit.
Yeah, but Caleb is, that is when he said it's music to my ears, because he says that he
also
at the well, but he's no longer thirsty. He's quenched this information.
He says, we were at the water well, but I was no longer thirsty. I was finally quenched. And I was like, damn, Caleb, that's like some poetic language there. I like that.
Yeah, I like Caleb a lot in this episode. I don't think it's really going to happen, because I think that they are pretty stacked challenge-wise. but I really want Lulu to go to Tribal Council because I'm so interested in what would happen with these five.
Yeah. I mean, they've been there enough. We don't need new Lulu going.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But, like, I also think that, like, they are all very, like, Caleb, Bruce, and Jake are some of the strongest men left, like, physically. Kelly is one of the strongest women left in the game physically. I think that they're probably set for a while. I think it is the strongest challenge-wise tribe that we have right now.
Okay. Sorry. I pulled up the episode. I wanted to find Sifu doing this song.
Once to blindside Sifu.
And I don't see how I can change Jay's mind.
No. 4 steps.
Down.
4 steps down is his lyrics. And it's the same lyrics he did with whatever. I was so close. I was like, I think it's like four down, but it was the steps I was missing.
4 steps down?
Yeah, and he said the exact same ones when I think Caleb did the camp raid before, whenever they showed this before. And it was the exact same way where he's like 4 steps and then Jay's like, down, because she's the singer. Yeah, maybe we'll learn more words to that song eventually, or maybe those are the only words to that song. We head to the immunity challenge, where they have to swim to a cage, leap inside, carry the cage up to the beach, dig out from under the cage to rebound, or somebody has to rebound basketballs while the others shoot basketballs into hoops from inside the cage. And one of the things I just wondered to myself, because Jeff had this like long wooden pier going out, so that way he could like commentate on the action and then be able to get back to the beach. You ever think they like build everything and they're like, fuck, we forgot the Jeff zone?
Yeah. No. I don't think so.
Probably not. That's probably high on their mind, but I feel like they like build everything. They're like, shit, we need a spot for Jeff to stand because they just focus on the people. But Jeff's probably high on their minds.
I mean, Jeff's like kind of in charge of them. He probably makes sure that happens.
Yeah. Do you think they call it the Jeff zone? I hope so.
Definitely.
Lulu crushes it this challenge and wins. They win shooting all of their three baskets before anybody else starts shooting. And then Bello follows up with second, and Reba is going to Tribal Council.
Reba, though, gets surprisingly close.
Yeah.
They do. I really thought they were going to just be demolished, and they get decently close.
Yeah, if Julie had been a better rebounder, her first like tries at rebounding, she throws the ball like 3 times into the side of the cage and it bounces off.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Which I like was curious about, because when Lulu goes, Kelly's rebounding and she like rebounds over back into the cage. And when she did that, I was like, oh, they must not be able to pass it through the bars of the cage. No, it turns out you can. It's just, I guess, harder to do because you might hit the walls of it, and going up and over seemed to work well for Kelly. And Caleb notably took the lead on that challenge with the shooting and crushed it. And so that might have bought him a little bit of favor, although this season it seems like people are really, I guess it's just we've seen a lot of talk from Lulu. The people on Lulu were really skittish of like strong challenge people. Although just, even with that, just with Sabaya. It's just Sabaya. Yeah.
They were also really skittish of bad challenge people like Brandon.
Yeah, they're just not happy with anything. So we get a tiny bit of time at Lulu, actually. We don't go straight to Reba, of just celebrating. Bruce does a great bit where he pretends to lose the flint, and somebody even calls him on it, and they're like, oh, you have the flint, you're just pretending you lost it. And he's like, no, I don't got it. And he's like, psych, I got it in the zipper pocket.
Like halfway through the bit, they're like, Bruce, this is not funny, stop joking. And he keeps joking, and I was like, no, Bruce, if they are like, this joke isn't funny, stop doing it. We do get a really, really, really great confessional from Keturah where she just, it's silent. I heard that, like, they're pretty sure this is the first silent confessional in Survivor history where she just, like, gives a look to the camera of annoyance.
Well, it was like a follow-up to a confessional earlier in the episode that was, like, her just going on and on and on and on about how annoyed
for seemingly days.
Yeah. It is great that of the people on their original tribe, Keturah seemed to be the one that was most annoyed with Bruce, and they ended up together.
Potentially the only one who's annoyed with Bruce.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know. I mean, I'm also annoyed, but I don't have to live with him.
Yeah, me too.
So then we go to Reba, and Sifu's like, well, obviously Sean's going to go because
Reba Strong.
Reba Strong. And if he doesn't go, I'm the target. Jay wants to blindside Sifu to flush his idol that he doesn't even have. Julie's pushing hard for Sean, kind of because of like the Reba Strong stuff, and Sifu's stronger for challenges. And they go into Tribal telling Sean, like, listen, we're going to talk a lot of Reba Strong stock at Tribal Council. You just got to trust it.
Yeah.
Which I mentioned just because of when Sean starts talking to Tribal Council. At first, I'm like, is this a bit? Is this part of it? Is he just playing into it?
I thought that too. I was like, was this planned? What do you think about Jay's plan to blindside Sifu? Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
I mean, I think it's fine. I do think they kind of need the challenge strength, but I also think that, like, I don't know, fuck it. Like,
I agree with you. I think it's a great idea because her thing is like, here's the deal. We might lose again anyway. And like, honestly, we probably will because everyone else is stronger. Like the other tribes are stronger than us. And so he's going to know he's the target next time. And I don't, like, he'll idle one of us out, and I don't want that to happen. We know Sean doesn't have anything because we looked in his bag. And so let's get Sifu out now, and then we get Sean out later. D, like, is all in on this plan. And I'm like, this is a better idea for D than it is for Jay. Because even if they go to Tribal three times, they'll get out Sifu, then they'll get out Sean, and then she and Julie will get out Jay. Mm-hmm. Like, D is safe.
Yeah, well, so that's also why I think it's a good idea for Jay, is it keeps the target off of her. Like, if she has realized that all that she's on the outs, it keeps it off of her a little bit because it focuses on Sifu. And then also, in talking to Julie and Dee about a plan for somebody, even if she was on the outs, it's kind of like her, like, pulling herself back into them a little bit.
And I didn't think about this until you just said that, of, like, if they get out Sean now and then lose again, they might even more be like, no, we need challenge strength. And get out Jay and keep Sifu. So she's like, no, let's get out Sifu now, because then Sean's an easy target next time for all of us.
Right. I didn't have any notes at Tribal Council until I was like, oh shit, Sean's asking them to vote him out after his story. And the other, you can see the others looking at each other like, is this like for real? Or is this like him just like doing the opposite of Reba Strong thing, just like playing it up to keep Sifu safe? And we see that Sean gets voted out 3-1-1. Sean voted for D, and D voted for Sifu. Why do you think Sean voted for D?
So he has said in exit press that he just, like, he knew that D wasn't going to get any votes, and he couldn't vote for himself, and he wanted to leave. And so he just threw away a garbage vote. Because if he voted for Sifu, he was worried that, like,
somebody else would have...
That would act like Sifu would actually get voted out, and he didn't want that.
Okay.
So he just threw away a vote. I really wanted them to actually still vote for Sifu. Like, that would have been very good.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they just needed one more person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would have been very... Well, if they had one more, then it would have been 2-2-1.
It would have been 2-2-1, but in the revote, Sifu and Sean wouldn't have been able to vote. And so that would have been... Even if everyone voted the same, it would have been 2-1.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I was kind of hoping for. So this was it was essentially a Sean quit, kind of, but not really. They made the vote happen still. It is kind of interesting that, like, why do you think they made them vote here, but they didn't with Hannah?
So I
can't remember if Jeff talked about that or not.
He did a little bit. I think part of it is that Hannah said, you don't have to vote me out to leave. I'm leaving anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
Where Sean wasn't quite saying that. And because Sean, I think that they, like, could see that people were not, were like hesitating about letting Sean leave. And so they were like, wanted the vote.
Yeah. Jeff did talk, like, he conveyed a little bit that he was kind of more upset by this sort of Sean quit, so to speak, than he was with Hannah, mostly because Hannah, like, owned it. She was like, yeah, this is really hard, like, I don't want to be here, I, like, this is a lot harder than I expected. And he felt that Sean kind of romanticized his quit. Like, he got what he came here for. He's good to go now. And it is clear Jeff was not as down with Sean leaving as he was with Hannah leaving.
I tend to agree with him. There were some things that Sean disputed of, like, Jeff also said that he thought that him asking Sean, like, if it's you tonight, what did you get from this experience, made Sean think that he was going to leave anyway. So he was just like, well, if I'm going to leave, I'm going to do it on my terms. Like, you can't fire me, I quit, kind of thing. And Sean was like, no. I knew it was going to be Sifu. Like, I did not think that it was going to be me. I just kind of realized that I was done with the game. But I still think that he would, like, even if that's true, I still think that he was, like, romanticizing a quit by saying all of these extra things of, you know, I've done what I want to do out here, yada, yada, yada.
Well, some of it was exit
thing, like, I could have won if I wanted to. And I was like, no. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason he quit, is he maybe realized, like, okay, I'm not going to win this thing. But he also mentioned, he's like, I just want to go spend time with my husband. And I was like, but you don't, like, whether you're on here or not, like, you don't get to see him for another few weeks. Like, that's just how it goes, man.
Right. Yeah. Which he also said in exit press, like, yeah, I knew that, I misspoke. Like, okay. I just meant that, like, I didn't need anything else from this experience. And I realized that my real adventure was, like, my life with my husband. He did say that he regretted it, that he wished he wouldn't have
quit. Yeah.
Which, you know, I wish he wouldn't have quit too, Sean.
Yeah, me too. Although we do get the excitement now. They show us next week the clips. Sifu's upset because, I mean, he could, even at Tribal Council, he was like, wait, who voted for me? He even, like, and hugging Sean when he's leaving, he's like, did you vote for me? And Sean's like, nope. So Sifu's radar's up. He's like, all right, who voted for me? They also show us Austin saying this is war. And Jake, I think, collapsing again.
Yeah.
So we'll see some more about that potentially. Our idol and advantages count did not change here. We still have Austin has an idol for one tribal council with potential extension. And Drew has a safety without power advantage and the goodwill advantage.
Interestingly, both of them are on the camp that, as far as we know, no one has found the beware advantage there.
Oh, so yeah. I wonder if that's still beware advantages. Yeah. Interesting. I wonder if there's, like, a cycle, or they, like, take that one out and replace it with, like, something new now that there's been a tribe shakeup.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was I going to say? Oh, do you think Katura's was, like, or not Katura, Sabaya's was, like, a weird case of, like, getting the idol and immediately going to vote. Do you think that the extension will happen like that for Austin? Like, when he goes to vote, he can be like, I choose not to vote. And then they're like, okay, your idol is extended.
Yeah, how else would it work?
I don't know. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I think you would, like, go up to the voting booth and say, like, I am not voting, I'm extending my idol.
Yeah.
And they'd say, okay. There might even be, like, a little slip when he gets up there of, like, you may sacrifice your vote to extend your beware advantage idol or something.
Yeah.
What I want to know is if he finds another beware advantage on Bello, does that whole thing, does one sacrificed vote move both of them forward?
Yeah, that's why I think there might be, like, a new sort of beware advantage now that they're at this point. Like, it's, they've swapped those out for something new.
I bet that we'll see it next episode. I hope. Or maybe just no one will find that idol all season. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, then, yeah, if nobody finds it, then we don't know if it is still there, or they, at when they're swapping, production crew runs into the beaches and is like, all right, we got to put new stuff in for phase two of the season or whatever.
Yeah. Because also, theoretically, I would expect that there's a new idol hidden
at on the Lulu others, yeah.
Because Sabaya got voted out with it.
Yeah. Okay, so for fantasy, I had Sean on my team, so I have lost him. I'm down to 6 people. Patrick still has 7, and Patrick is in the lead by a little bit. We do need to pick a MVP of this episode.
Side note, I had picked Sean as my first boot, which he was the 4th boot, but he's the first one of the people that we picked as first boot to be voted out. So I don't get any bonus for that, but I do get a little bit of bragging rights. I have mine.
Okay, I think it's not super strong, but I'll go with it.
Oh, 3, interesting. I like I feel like I can predict yours, but it's going to be different than mine.
3, 2, 1, Caleb.
Caleb. Oh, I thought you were going to say Emily.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Yeah, it's just Caleb came into a new group of people. He proved his like worth in the challenge really well, and was getting talked to by like shopped around basically by people. So he's seeming pretty good.
Yeah, I felt like Emily did get like a lot of get like approached by Austin and Drew, but Caleb kind of got approached by everyone, and like kind of thinks that everybody is like everybody kind of thinks that they have Caleb right now, which puts Caleb in an even better position than Emily, I think.
Somewhat. It puts him in a good position currently. I don't think Caleb's in it to win it, because he's going to get viewed as a threat before long and outed because of that.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I think that his like getting information from all sides was more impressive than Emily's getting like taken up by one side of her.
Yeah. Tribe. Yep. Agreed. Our predictions we made last week were that the episode title would be said by Emily or Keturah. And
I'll give you an Emily.
I was mostly right with Emily. She said music to a girl's ears rather than music to my ears, but that's very close. And then the next boot predicted was Bruce or Jay Maya, and we were both wrong there. We all still have our final three, where I picked Kelly, Sifu, Jake, and Patrick picked Kelly, Austin, D. And they are all still here, so sticking with it. That's 4 episodes in a row. We haven't lost somebody. That's pretty good.
Oh, boy, Chris, why did you say something like that?
Because it's pretty good. Let's see. Any season-long predictions change? No.
I don't think so.
No unanimous votes, no tied votes, no new idols or advantages, no live tribals, no shots in the dark. Yeah. Cool. Do you have a luxury item this week?
Who do you think's going to say the next episode title, Chris?
Oh, shoot. We got predictions. I was like, what am I forgetting? The next episode title is a fun one.
I don't want to be the worm.
Oh, wait. I had it written down as worm. You said worms. It's singular.
I did not say worms.
Or I said worms.
I said worm.
You said worm. It's singular. Interesting. That changes everything.
I don't want to. I was so confused when you made it plural, because that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, so my brain, when it was plural and I read it out, my brain went to like a corpse that was buried and you get eaten by worms and you just get turned into the worms. I know that's not what would happen, but that's what my brain went to. It was like, that's why somebody would say that. And so having it be singular gets rid of that idea completely from my head.
I bet that it is someone saying like getting like taken out by a bird. I don't know what that means, but
early bird gets the worm. Maybe they're trying to say they're going to get voted out early because of that.
No, I think that maybe they're like, you know, early bird gets the worm. I'm going to be the early bird. I don't want to be the worm. I'm going to say Bruce. I think that's like a weird Bruce-ism.
I'm going to say Sifu.
Oh, that also makes a lot of sense.
I just feel like he says stuff, weird stuff sometimes. I don't know. The next week's episode, the one after that, is called I'm Not Batman, I'm the Canadian.
Which almost definitely is said by Caleb. And so I'm definitely
well, there's not a couple, saying couple can, next week. Is Caleb the only Canadian left?
He is.
Really?
He's the only Canadian on the season.
No. Is that real?
Why is that surprising?
Because I just thought there was more. I thought there was a couple.
He's the only Canadian.
Well, then, yeah. Probably is said by him. Well, that doesn't help us this week, though. Yep. All right. And then who do we think is going to get kicked off next?
No, it does help us, because I bet really good money that Caleb is not voted off next.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to pick him anyways.
This is really sad for me to say, but I think it's going to be Jake with a medevac. Just 2 collapses like that is scary to me.
Yeah.
And that would make a lot of sense of why they showed it the first time, because I was like, that seemed so small, and like, why was that a part of the episode? And if it comes back and is like a bigger deal, that would make a lot of sense.
I'm gonna say, who's the one that says this is war? Austin? Let's say it's something from that. I'm gonna say Kendra.
Ooh, I do think that Kendra is a good guess if they go to tribal.
Okay, now do you have luxury items?
I do. I'm glad you have items, because I'm going to kind of do a twofer.
Twofer? I hardly know her.
I know, right? There's a new season of Great British Bake Off, also known as Great British Baking Show, depending on what country you're in or, you know, what you like to call it. This new season is great. There's a new host who I'm really loving and digging, and she's a lot of fun. I believe her name is Allison, but I might be wrong about that. That's awkward. There's a lot of great bakers. I like genuinely think that the baking is like more impressive than most seasons at this point. Like all of them are legitimately very good. And it's just a great, great season of Bake Off so far. I'm a big fan. And the twofer aspect of this is that I've also been listening to a podcast by Travis and Teresa McElroy called Bake On. That is like a recap podcast of Bake Off. And it's great. So if you are a Great British Bake Off fan and you want some like fun married couple talk about it, who just like are huge, huge, huge fans of Bake Off, and they will be like, oh man, that really reminded me of this baker from seasons ago who did this thing. It's really great. It's fun. I like it a lot. So that is Great British Bake Off and also the podcast Bake On.
I'm going to recommend Super Mario Brothers Wonder. It just came out on Friday, October 20th. It's the first 2D Mario game in a very long time. And it's great. It's very fun. I played it a lot on Friday and all day today. And I just beat it right before we started recording. But now I got to go back to like 100% it and find some levels and stuff that I missed. But it is very fun. It's got some new like power-ups in it, some new enemies that are really enjoyable. If you're into Mario games, I highly recommend it. If you are or have children that are into games, but they get frustrated if they die too much, this mode has a couple. You can play as Yoshi or I can't remember the other guy's name, where those characters like won't die. And so you don't have to worry about like you can just like jump around and it's a little bit more kid friendly. Yeah. So check that out.
Would it be fun to play just like multiplayer? Play through the whole thing multiplayer?
I have no idea how multiplayer works for it. So I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool.
It does give you the option to play with like one. It does say you can play with like one, two, or three, or four when I started, but I'm just playing by myself, so I have no idea how the multiplayer works. But I think it works similar to potentially to older Mario games. You can also play like in online mode where like while you play through a level, it'll have like the ghosts of other players who are also played or have played through the level. And so like if you die, you turn into a little ghost. And if you can like float around as a ghost and hit one of the other players, they'll like bring you back to life.
Oh, that's fun.
I've not turned that mode on, but I've seen like some streamers play with that mode. But yeah, I really like it a lot. So highly recommend it. Listeners, why don't you let us know what shows, games, podcasts you've been listening to? We got a few emails this week. Let's keep that email train coming. Email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
LMNOP.